Welcome to Earnestly Contending for the Faith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today's presentation is titled, Why Was the Lord Jesus Christ Baptized? This study came about as a result of a question that was asked at the end of a Sunday school lesson as to why the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized. This is yet another case where the Holy Ghost used a question that was asked of the teacher to teach the teacher. This is one of the reasons that I put so much emphasis on asking questions when I teach Sunday school. The Holy Ghost uses those questions for teaching opportunities. And as I've been told many times over the years, the only stupid question is the one that doesn't get asked. So I encourage people to ask questions. The Lord Jesus Christ had this to say in John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Again, that's John 14:26. Teachers and students must have a teachable spirit if they are to learn, and that spirit is the spirit of the Holy Ghost. The question that was asked following that Sunday school class was, since Jesus is holy, why did he need to be baptized? We're going to go and look at different passages in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that speak about the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll look at Matthew 3:1-7, Mark 1:1-13, Luke 3:2-23, and John 19:36. And they're all accounts of the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. First up is Matthew 3:1-17. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Esaias, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to the baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth forth, not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will truly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Next up, we have Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. Verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness, and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of skin about his loins. And he did eat locust and wild honey, and preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Next we have Luke chapter 3, verses 2 through 23. Verse 2. Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Esaias the prophet, saying, The voice of one crying into the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people ask him, saying, What shall we do then? He answered and saith unto them, He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also the publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heliah. Now that passage of scripture in Luke 2, or Luke 3 here, that ending verse, said that he was supposed to be the son of Joseph, but he wasn't. Joseph was his stepfather, if you will. Joseph had nothing to do with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next up, we have John chapter 1, verses 19 through 36. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying into the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore I am come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walketh, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. That's John chapter 1, verses 19 through 36. Quite an extended reading of passages of Scripture, but I want you to see it in every one of the Gospels, in the context of every one of the Gospels. Out of these four passages come the question of why the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized. These four passages also raise other questions that relate to the purpose of baptism. Many folks have been taught that baptism washes away sin and is therefore necessary for salvation. That is not what the Bible teaches. Water baptism cannot wash away sin. It is only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that can wash away sin. By insisting that water baptism washes away sin, many make the Lord Jesus Christ a sinner. Not only did the Lord Jesus Christ not sin, the Lord Jesus Christ could not sin because he is God manifest in the flesh. Here's what Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 and Hebrews chapter 9 verse 28 state from our Bibles. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That's Hebrews 4, verse 15, repeated. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That is, again, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Since the Lord Jesus Christ could not and did not sin, the purpose of his baptism could not have been to wash away sin. Think about that, folks. That in itself disproves any doctrine that states that you must be baptized to be saved. The thief on the cross was not baptized either. Yet, the Lord Jesus Christ said he would be with him in paradise that very day. There are also untold millions of Old Testament saints who did not have Christian baptism who will be in heaven because salvation is by faith and not by baptism. Now to the issue of why the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized. There are several purposes identified in the passages that deal with his baptism. The first and most obvious reason is that the Lord Jesus Christ commanded John the Baptist to baptize him. In Matthew 3, verse 15, the Lord told John to suffer it to be so now. To suffer someone to do something is to allow them to do it with prejudice or reservation. What Jesus was telling John is that even though I know you do not want to do it anyhow. The second reason the baptism was done was for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. What Jesus was telling John is that he, Jesus, had to be baptized to fulfill all the righteous requirements of the law. Another key is contained in the statement from Luke chapter 3, verse 23, which reads this way, "And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age." The significance of that statement is that no one could enter into the priesthood until he was at least 30 years of age. That requirement comes from Numbers chapter 4 and indicates that the Lord Jesus Christ was about to embark on his priesthood. Record that. He was about to embark upon his priesthood. Even though the Lord Jesus Christ was of the tribe of Judah, he was to be anointed high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We see that in Psalm 110, verses 1 through 4, and in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20. And here's the way the Bible reads, Psalm 110, verse 1, a psalm of David. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And if you know anything about the Old Testament appearances, or some call them theophanies, of the Lord Jesus Christ before the incarnation, you know that Psalm 110 is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So it said there, the Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 6, verse 20, states this, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. When the Lord said unto my Lord in Psalm 110, that was God the Father speaking to God the Son. Hallelujah. These passages establish the fact that when that the Lord Jesus Christ was the high priest. Since he is the high priest, one of the reasons for his baptism is contained in Exodus chapter 29, verses 1 through 8, Exodus chapter 40, verses 12 through 15, and also in Leviticus chapter 8, verses 6 through 12, where it is written in our Bibles this way. Exodus 29, verse 1. And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread, and cakes unleavened tempered with oil, and wafers unleavened anointed with oil. Of wheaten flour shalt thou make them. And thou shalt put them into one basket, and bring them in the basket, and with the bullock and the two rams. And Aaron, we know who Aaron was. Aaron was the high priest. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water. Let me read that again for you. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water. And thou shalt take the garments and put on Aaron the coat and the robe of the ephod and the breastplate, and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod. And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil, and pour it upon his head, and anoint him. And thou shalt bring his sons, and put coats upon them. That's Exodus 29, verses 1 through 8. Next up we have Exodus 40, verses 12 through 15. Verse 12, and thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons. Note that Aaron is showing up again there. He is the high priest. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and wash them with water. And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring his sons, and clothe them with coats, and thou shalt anoint them as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister to me, or minister unto me, in the priest's office. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. That's Exodus chapter 40, verses 12 through 15. Next up, we have Leviticus chapter 8, verses 6 through 12. And look, here we go again in verse 6. And Moses brought Aaron, the high priest again, and his sons, and washed them with water. That's yet the third time we have heard that they washed them with water. And he put upon him the coat, and girded him with the girdle, and clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod upon him, and he girded him with the curious girdle of the ephod, and bound it unto him therewith. And he put the breastplate upon him. Also he put in the breastplate the Urim and the Thummim. And he put the mitre upon his head, also upon the mitre, even upon his front did he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. And Moses took the anointing oil, and anointed the tabernacle, and all that was therein, and sanctified them. And he sprinkled thereof upon the altar 7 times, and anointed the altar, and all his vessels, both the laver and his foot, to sanctify them. And he poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head, and anointed him to sanctify him. Now, after having read all three passages of that scripture, note that Exodus 29:4, Exodus 40:12, and Leviticus chapter 8, verse 6, state that the priests had to be washed before they could enter into their priestly duties. This was the requirement of the law, and it was therefore required of the Lord Jesus Christ that he be ceremonially washed to enter the priesthood to fulfill all righteousness of the law. The Lord Jesus Christ said this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Again, the law placed upon him the requirement to be washed before he could enter the priesthood. We know from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 10, that that washing involved submersion. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 6 through 10 reads this way. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But unto the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings, note that, and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of the Reformation. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 9, verses 6 through 10. We know that the phrase divers washing that we just read from verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 9 is a reference to the submersion necessary for baptism, because the word washings is translated from the Greek word baptismos, which is translated into the English word baptism in our New Testament. Note also from Exodus 29 verse 7, Exodus 40 verse 15, and Leviticus chapter 8 verse 12, that the high priest had to be anointed. That anointing took place when the Holy Ghost descended as a dove upon the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 3 verse 16, Mark 1 verse 10, Luke 3 verse 22, and John 1 verse 33. All priests, including the high priest, were required to be anointed with oil. Oil is a type of the Holy Ghost in the Word of God. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost was the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ as the high priest. Since the Lord Jesus Christ was to come as a prophet, priest, and king, this anointing was also for the purpose of declaring him to be king, the Jewish Messiah, since God declared that all kings that were to rule over his people were to be anointed by the priest. At the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist was fulfilling the role of priest, since he was of the priestly lineage, because his father, Zacharias, was a priest in the courts of Abijah. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ said this, "Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." So why did the Pharisees ask of John the Baptist in John 1:25 this question? And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" The logical reason they asked that question is that they were expecting the Messiah, who is Christ. That's what that term Messiah and Christ mean, the anointed one, that the prophet and Elijah to come baptize. And that's what the Pharisees expected. They expected the Messiah and the prophet Elijah to come baptize him. The phrase "that prophet" is reference to the Lord Jesus Christ from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 19, where the Bible states this. Verse 15, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet." And folks, that's capitalized. That prophet is capitalized. Reason for it? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. That is Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 19. Now, what would give the Pharisees the idea that the Messiah would come baptizing? It is likely that the Pharisees had in mind Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 22 through 28. Let's go and read that. In fact, I think I'm almost positive that this is one of the major reasons they thought he would come baptizing. Verse 22, "Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Listen at this now. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God." That's Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 22 through 28. Now, it could also be that the Jews were expecting a baptizing Messiah because of Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1, where the Bible says this, "In that day there shall be a fountain." That's water, folks. "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness." Under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, John the Baptist used the Jewish expectation of a baptizing Messiah from Ezekiel 36, verse 25, and Zechariah 13, 1, to enlighten the Jews that the baptism they should be looking for from the Messiah was the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when the Spirit of God would be put within them, in fulfillment of Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. John the Baptist told the Jews that the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be baptizing with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost baptizes no one. I want you to hear that. The Holy Ghost baptizes no one. It is always the Lord Jesus Christ doing the baptism with the Holy Ghost. It is always the Lord Jesus Christ doing the baptism with the Holy Ghost. In the six times that Holy Ghost baptism appears in the New Testament, it is always people being baptized with the Holy Ghost and not by the Holy Ghost. Now, yet another reason for the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ is given in John 1, verses 30 and 31. Verse 30, "This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. For he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am come baptizing with water." The manifestation that is spoken of in John 1, verse 31, is the manifestation of the Jewish Messiah. John is telling the Jews that he came baptizing as a sign to them that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Messiah they were looking for. Baptism has never been the means to salvation, folks. Baptism has always been the means of identifying with fellow believers and the local church. When the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, he was identifying himself with all the baptized believers that would follow him. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 identifies baptism as the door to church membership. Let me state that again. Acts 2, verse 41 identifies baptism as the door to church membership. For Bible believers, baptism has always been a ceremonial ordinance. That is, it is a rite that follows salvation. I emphasize, baptism always follows salvation. That is why Baptists call it believer's baptism. Baptism is not a sacrament leading to salvation. It has absolutely nothing to do with your salvation. It is an act of obedience. Baptism, always by immersion, was also practiced by the Jews during the ministry of John the Baptist, because the Jews baptized all Gentiles who wished to convert to Judaism. Now, I done a series that it's uploaded to our website, and we call it Satan's Counterfeits. And I done an extended study, probably about an hour long, maybe a little longer, where I went back and done some research on baptism, and it would surprise you, even all the pagan religions that do baptism, and would surprise you, the Jewish method of baptism was the mikveh. And if you go and you research the mikveh, there are some things in there that are very, very powerful, folks. And I would suggest you go and download that particular study. And by the way, there's a document also associated with it. And look at that. It will surprise you how prevalent baptism was in many religions, and most of them, well, all of them but one, false religions. Let's put it that way. Baptism, again, is always by immersion, was always practiced by the Jews during the ministry of John the Baptist, because the Jews baptized all Gentiles who wished to convert to Judaism. The Jews, during the time of John the Baptist, constructed special baptismal pools known as mikvahs. Even today, Orthodox Jews will not build a synagogue until they have constructed a mikveh. And that's a baptismal pool, folks. I would encourage you to either go read or listen to our teaching on baptism that we titled Counterfeit Baptism from part 5 of our 14-part series titled Satan's Counterfeits, where we discuss the Jewish mikveh and pagan baptisms. The baptism of John and the baptism commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, was a cold slap in the face of the Pharisees, who made all converts to Judaism be baptized because they condemned them as pagans. We can rest assured that part of John's rebuke in Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, was a condemnation by the Holy Ghost of that very practice of Jewish baptism that required no repentance. There is a lesson in all of that from the Holy Ghost. The water of repentanceless baptism will be turned into scalding, blistering steam in the fiery pits of hell. Baptism cannot save you from the wrath which is to come. Repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood is the only act that can deliver you from the wrath which is to come. That's Acts chapter 20, verse 21. Now let's read Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 through 10 again. Verse 7, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. That's Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. Again, the liquid of baptism cannot wash away your sins and make you whole again. Only the liquid of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can wash away your sins and make you whole again. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Hallelujah to that. I want to thank you for joining us in this study that we titled, Why Was the Lord Jesus Christ Baptized?